bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn. Just imagine, just imagine. Nothing I can see but you when you dance, dance, dance. Feel a good, good creeping up and you touch, dance, dance, dance. All those things I shouldn't do but you dance, dance, dance. Ain't nobody leaving soon, dance, dance, dance. You can't stop the feeling, get up and dance. You know you want to, you know you want to. Get up and dance, that's what it's all about. He can't shut him up now. Old Justin is giving it some in the background here. Shut up, Justin. Get up and dance. You know you want to. Get them kids out. Get out dancing. Good old energy. See, I've been all around the house. I'll be top of the pops. Top of the pops will be coming back. What were they called? Pan's People. I'll be up with them when this is all over. Right, the old roast turkey yesterday. Beautiful. B-E-A-utiful. Lovely little turkey. Several dishes lined up for the week. Let's start with the recipe of the day because I was asked when I mentioned what can you have after it. Turkey pancakes. What did I mean by turkey pancakes? Well, we normally associate pancakes, don't we, with Pancake Tuesday. Don't just have to have them on that day. I mean, now's another great time teaching your kids cooking. Teach them how to make pancakes. Basic. Great, spend a couple of hours in the kitchen with the kids, make some pancakes, they'll love it. But savoury pancakes, they don't have to be sweet. So a dish that we quite often have using up a leftover roast is savoury pancakes. So you can do it with any of your leftover roast, but I'll talk you through the turkey one and then others. So obviously you make pancakes, I'm not going to have to tell you how to make them, am I, surely? You must know how to make pancakes, surely. Plain flour, eggs and milk can't be that difficult. Even Suggsy could do that one. But the turkey, I will get diced very finely. So really fine, don't want great big chunks. Really fine diced turkey. Onion, a load of mushrooms and some spinach with a little bit of garlic. So basically, heat the pan up. I'll get the mushrooms in there first, get them browned off. Move them to one side because I want a bit of juice to come out of them. So I take them out and let a bit of juice, put them in a sort of like cereal bowl, let a bit of juice come in with them because that will give you the moisture to the dish. Then get your onion and your garlic in, just brown that off. Or the onion, garlic in, get that browned. Then return the mushrooms to the pan, get that all mixed in. Then your turkey to heat it through. So you're not cooking it again, you just want to heat that turkey through. And then a good handful of spinach leaves and wilt them. And I cook this in butter, a little bit of olive oil to stop the butter burning, but majority butter. And then get the spinach in, and you might add some more butter at that stage because the mushrooms will have absorbed quite a bit, just to wilt the spinach. Once it's all wilted, lay it down the middle of your pancake, fold it over, serve that with chips and peas. Absolutely beautiful. It's a great way to use up a leftover joint. Savoury pancakes. If you're using things like pork, chicken, beef, you can do the same, or you can make it a bit more spicy. You can use things like bean sprouts, ginger, chili peppers with those chopped up finely. Again, bit of soy sauce for the moisture to give you a sort of Asian style, chili style type pancake. Really nice. Again, serve them up. Only ever really have it with chips and peas. But a really good way to use up a leftover meal. So today it will be cold meat and bubble and squeak, but tomorrow it will probably be savoury turkey pancakes. Again, very inexpensive and a great way to use up your food. So if you haven't tried them, try them. Really nice, really good. Thoroughly enjoyable. Right, what else have we got? We've got Book of the Day. Book of the Day is The 1% Rule by Tommy Baker, not the old Doctor Who. How to Fall in Love with the Process and Achieve Your Wildest Dreams. Good book. Again, it's all about, I was talking to somebody yesterday, I said, are you going to do any betting books? I'm not a massive lover of them. I've read them, but for the normal person, I mean, I did pure maths at school. And I'll give you an example. I use Poisson, Dixon, Coles. You look at it. When I look at the formulas on a page, it doesn't mean a lot to me. I've got no desire to learn it again. I've got no desire to implement it myself. So obviously I get tools built to do that. I'm interested in the output. And whilst you do want to have a basic knowledge of betting odds and how to work, and I'm going to do a bit on racing this week. I'm going to do a couple of racing videos. And one of our members, Alan Henders, has sent me in some stuff about settling bets because people don't even know how to settle bets. So I think that sort of basic side is needed, but I'll still maintain to anybody that success in this game will come down to how you manage yourself before any of that. I think there's a lot of people who have, and I've said it before, paralysis by analysis and do all this. If you can't manage yourself, then that's it. And I just think particularly through what we're going through, when a time for you can sort of sit and reflect and perhaps make decisions and, you know, it's a great, people tend to do it around New Year, but isn't it a great time now to sit and think, right, when this all ends, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever it may be, I am going to do things differently. The maths and that won't matter then. It'll be a sort of, and this book's really a sort of no bullshit approach about achieving the things that people say they want to. Whenever I meet people and talk to people about what they want to do, they don't come to me with maths formulas. I want to understand this, I want to understand that. They want to better themselves. How do I better myself? And unfortunately, people have great ideas, but don't actually do a lot about it and don't get on and do things. You know, this podcast really came about by me taking action, wanting to do something. I discussed it with Kev and Chris, never did anything. And then I thought, no, I'm going to do it. And I got up one morning and just did it. And here we are, whatever. 250,000 downloads later and 500-600 podcasts, however many it is, it's been 450-500, still doing it. But it came about by just taking action. And I think this is a time when those of you who sort of just get up and go through the same routines, now is a time to take action and sort of say, when I come out of this, when this all is over and ending, I am going to sort it out. And this is a book again that tackles that sort of thing of, as I say, setting yourself up to achieve what you want to achieve. Yes, you will need to learn things like you know, the basics and understanding odds and studying markets and things like that. They're, of course, they're important. I'm not dissing them, but I think reading a book on mathematics and this, that and the other, for the most people isn't what they need. That's my view on it. We know how to use a betting exchange, pretty much everybody listening to this. It's how you use it. That to me is the key. It's teaching people how to use it. Why do you bet that game? Why do you enter them? Why do you exit them? What is it you're trying to achieve in that market? What's the long-term profitability if we keep doing that thing? And that's it. So, you know, I've won 800 quid this week in Belarus. Never bet in Belarus. But I applied the same methods because there's only been three or four games. And I've sent one of the boys in my WhatsApp group the screenshots from it. It's not, there's something to gamble on. I've had time to do the research on those games because there's only 8, 9, 10 games. I mean, I kept wondering to myself, why is Belarus still going? But their president is taking a whole new approach to it. Basically, we're carrying on as normal and the vodka's going to save us, is what he's basically said. Drink a bit of vodka, but not while you're working, and we'll crack on. So it will be interesting to see what happens in Belarus with regard to this virus over a period of time. You know, in the world in general, there's conspiracy theories or whatever that we're going about it wrong and we should just let people get on with it. And it is like the flu, and others saying no, well, it clearly isn't like the flu, is it? It's far more contagious. When people get flu, and yes, there are 17,000 deaths or whatever last year or the year before the flu, it's not shutting down the NHS, is it? And that's the problem. And I'll give you an example. Art's been, I'm sure you'll always join me in sending Art wishes. Art's been admitted to hospital again, Arthur, yesterday, so I'm deeply worried about that. But the flu doesn't shut the NHS down and cause these problems, and they're not just here, they're all over the world. So I think it's apples and pears, ludicrous. But Belarus, yeah. So it's given me time. I've manually done those games. So I've manually gone, found the figures I want, done what I would do, my spreadsheets would do normally for me, but I've just done it manually. and thrown up three or four bets. A couple haven't qualified. First half goal at Minsk, but they scored in the first minute. But we had over 1.5 and over 2.5 in one of the games yesterday. Had over 1.5 in a game on Saturday. But it's the process of doing it. Don't need maths, it's the process of getting to that. But then it's executing those bets, not just, oh, there's a game on, I want to have a bet. So, you know, I haven't played every game in Belarus that's on Betfair because they're not right. But, yeah, anyway, I'm getting off track with where I was going. See, old Trump yesterday tweeting about his ratings. I mean, it just gets worse, doesn't it? He's doing daily updates like we are here at whatever, 5, 6 o'clock in the evening US time. And obviously people are watching them because they want to know what's going on. And he's tweeting about how popular he is because the ratings for these updates are good. The man is, without doubt, I'm convinced, some sort of sociopath. I really do think he is. Someone recommended me that book, Fire and Fury, and I'm reading that. The guy's nuts, absolutely nuts. Anyway, getting off track. Where were we? Right, so I've done the recipe. So while we're talking about that, let's do the stat of the day. Shall we do the stat of the day? Yeah, let's do this. I'll do the. In fact, I'm even having people send me jokes. My guy, I was best man at his wedding, has found the podcast, listens to it, and he sent me a joke. See, we got. They can see how we got on. Joke of the bloody day, he's called this email there. All right, son, checking in. Joke of the day I'm going to use is, they say that the word icy is one of the shortest words to spell. I see why. There you go, I see why. Oh, they're all Suggsies now, like head back in the wall. Ain't got a clue what to do with that one, have you, Suggsy? I want to thank Scott as well. I said about Scott doing, Suggsy doing some Excel for me. Scott, I did forget your son. Thank you to Scott, who's done a load as well. I've got the boys working. I've got the full team churning out information so that we're all better off come the end of this. I'm really looking forward to actually how the FTS setup will be. It's a good time to get it organised. But stat of the day, right, sorry, I'm going to upset some here now because this is only relevant, well, unless you build your own Poisson model. But people in Ultimate, I'm just switching to the Poisson sheet yesterday because I used the over 2.5 market yesterday. And when I'm using over 2.5, I do tend to, whatever research I do, then refer to Poisson. And you've got a Poisson database in the Ultimate Members area, and you can use this really simply. Go to where my figures, I have a sort of modified Poisson, so go to where my figures have generated an over 2.5 of less than 1.5. Go to, so if you've got the Ultimate Poisson, just go to the over 2.5, filter it to less than 1.5, then filter the value of over 2.5 to greater than or equal 10. You've got a nice solid over 2.5 method, but you'll also see that it is good in the first half goal method. If you then clear the value, clear that value column and look at the home wins, and you don't need to do anything else. You've got enough on that sheet there that you don't need to do anything else if you've got a bit of patience. But so those of you on my on the Ultimate, apologies for those of you who are not. I can't, you know, not every stat is going to be available to everybody. I've got to fill 90 days of these. Poisson sheet, Poisson overs, where my Poisson number, so forget the Betfair odds, where my Poisson number is less than 1.5. Just have a look at the returns, what that does. Over 2.5 value greater than 10, you can improve that again if you play around with it. Perhaps look at leagues. Over 2.5 greater than 10, you've got a nice slow burning over 2.5, but it's also profitable in the first half goal. And if you take that value off, just have a look at the home wins. Again, it's popular in the other markets, but just where I'm telling you, basically, look, there's going to be goals in these games. Basically, the home teams are generating more goals than the away teams. So it's a nice, solid little earner for you if you've got a little bit of patience. So that is the stat of the day, which is Ultimate Friendly. And people are now going, oh, I thought you were doing these for everybody. There'll be loads to come. You've had loads. Don't be greedy. Don't be greedy. Looking after everybody. Just as a note on the home wins in the overs there, just this season, that's 140 points. I am really giving away trade secrets here. I don't like it. I'm going to go and head back a wall. I'm giving you all the trade secrets of how to operate. They won't like it. They don't like it. They don't like it. Right, we've done the stat of the day. We've done that. Poker. I've been asked for these pokers, so I'm going to start with the, I'm going to go back in time to the first time I nearly had a scrap at poker. And this was in MGM. And those of you who've been to Vegas, the poker room used to be opposite. They used to have a lion display in there. They used to bring lion. They had about 10 lions on a ranch. And they used to bring two or three in a day. And they had them in a sort of glass zoo enclosure inside the casino. It's gone now, been turned into Calvin Harris's nightclub. Can't remember what it's called. Begins with H. Hackersand, something like that. And the poker room used to be opposite there. They moved it now when they did all the makeover. And I was looking for a game one day, so I thought I'll go down there and play. And sat down, and I was right next to the dealer, which ended up being a good thing. I was on the dealer's left, so I was in seat one. And a guy round the sort of far corner, so he'd have been in seat seven probably. So he was sort of diagonally across from me to my right. He was a New Yorker, thick New Yorker, real New York accent. And he was a dickhead. Bottom line, he was an absolute cock. And the one thing, if I have got one flaw when I get people like that, I do try and target them, maybe not just for the cards, but because they're a cock. And I'm not going to lie, a couple of times it's caught me out. So I sort of drinking a few beers, and this guy was winding me up, talking absolute fucking bollocks. One of them, you know, flashing the Rolex watch every chance he got, and I do this and I do that. And I just sort of filed him in the cock column and thought, I'm going to have you. It was a few years back, and I was trying to think what was one particular thing he said which really got to me, but I can't remember what it was. So I thought, I'm going to get you. Anyway, good 2 or 3 hours, and me and him had had a bit of a spat. You know, I'd made a few digs at him. You know, just simple things, like he would get his Rolex, and I'd go, well, all the twats wear Rolex, don't they? Like, proper people wear Omega and Breitling and other firms like that. So I just sort of kept chipping away at him, trying to contradict pretty much everything he said, like I would. And then I get dealt pocket aces, and I've got about $700-800 in front of me, and he's probably got about $500 in front of him. Started with 300, it was a 300 buy-in, and I get dealt pocket aces. So bet, he raises round to me. I've called his bet. Everyone else folded. Now just me and him. Tell you no lie, the flop comes ace-7-7. Me to play, so I bet. He calls me. I thought, right, okay. I know I've got him beat. I know I'm winning. Turn card was nothing. Can't remember whatever it was. 10-9, something like that. So now I've put in a good bet. He's gone all in, shoved straight away. Didn't hesitate. Every chip in. Instantly, insta call. So I haven't even thought about it. Straight in. Dealer said, turn them over. I've turned them over, can't remember. So I've shown ace, ace. He has got ace, seven. So he's got a full house, sevens full of aces. I've got a full house, aces full of sevens. He has fucking erupted. He has erupted. And I sat there, I just got cocky. I just sat in the chair and I went, unlucky. And I said something like, well, I probably shouldn't have done. I said, perhaps you can sell that watch, get a few quid and come back again. And he wanted to kill me. He has gone to like come across the table at me, and the dealer's sort of put his hand up. And I did get a bollock in. The dealer said to me, you're out of order. I said, no, that's fine, fair enough. I said, but when he left, I said, the guy was a complete and utter cock. Nobody could deny it. And they all agreed. But yeah, that was one of my first sort of major, that was a long time ago, one of my first major big wins in Vegas on the poker. And just one of those things where you think, you got what you wanted. You know, you just sat there and chipped away at him, but got the perfect cards for that scenario. And ever since then, I've become an annoying little bastard. I'm the best, simply the best annoying bastard. I'm the best annoying bastard of all the annoying bastards. Right, what have we got here? What we got? I've done the stat of the day. I've done the recipe. I've done the joke. Have I done the book? Yeah, I did the book, didn't I? The book, 1%. 1% rule, Tommy Baker. Yeah, I've done it. Oh, no, I remember now. That's it. I've got no other news, nothing. Got to take the old dog's got to go and have a worming tablet or something, so I've got to go and do that. It's classed as essential travel. The RSPCA is still classed as essential, so I'm going to do that. And this week, as I say, it will be, I'm going to do a couple of racing videos showing the racing databases. I'm going to do a fish curry recipe. One of the boys has asked me, so I'm going to give you the best fish curry recipe. That'll be out tomorrow or Wednesday. So if you've got any fish knocking about, save it for that. And I'll do this bit on settling bets that Alan sent me. FTS Connect connected a few more of you yesterday and today. That's good. I think that's it. It is. I know that this is getting tedious with people. I'm not going to buy into there'll be social disorder. I think people are comparing Italy, where there's a large cash-based sort of workforce, comparing apples and pears. I'm not saying there won't be some hassle, but I don't think that we'll have a monumental problem with social disorder. I just think we need to get people to stay in. Anyway, have a lovely, lovely Monday, and I'll be back with you tomorrow morning.